Downtown, we're talking some college football. The Maine Black Bears with a big showdown with New Hampshire this weekend, hoping that will be enough to get them into the FCS 2014 playoff field. Well, we've turned to the source authority for these things to find out more. We're joined by Eric Pitzer. He is the bracketologist for NoBowls.com. Eric, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, we love the work that you guys do. We've been following the website forever, and the track record that you have is extraordinary. I'll make sure I get this right, that since 08, you guys have correctly picked 129 of the 136 teams that have made the FCS field.
You know, I was just thinking about that number this week. I use at the end of each season, I go back and update that. But I'm not positive. I did at the end of last season. I have to go back and do the math. But, yeah, pretty close.
Well, that's pretty incredible. So let's start with your methodology. What do you use for factors to determine who you think the selection committee will choose?
Well, you kind of look at everything. And you look at past history, past brackets, what gets you in. And I kind of just start from the top down. You get your eight seeds. And you go for, well, obviously you take your automatic qualifiers first, get those 10 teams in, and then go down your top 25s. You look at your, and then once you get down to those last couple teams, you just start putting up resumes side by side and decide who's the best.
Now, we've in the past looked a lot at the GPI, the Gridiron Power Index. Is that no more? I haven't been able to find that at all this year.
You know, I couldn't answer. I don't pay too much attention to it. I know they have mentioned it in the past. I really don't know how much weight that has with the committee when it comes down to it.
Well, let's look first at the teams that you've already got in and seeded, and no big surprises in your top eight, except perhaps that you've got Eastern Washington as the overall number one. Why do you think that'll happen?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be fine with swapping North Dakota State or Eastern Washington at one or two. I think they both have very comparable resumes. Both sitting at 10-1 right now with quality FBS wins, both Power 5 wins, in fact. And Eastern Washington's only loss is to North Dakota State, but it was in overtime in Fargo, so I really can't fault them for that. And now their win over Washington State's looking more and more impressive each day.
Now, I feel better about my own spouting off yesterday when I saw that you also had Richmond not only in the field but as a seeded team. I've seen some folks online say, well, Richmond's not in yet. I think they're absolutely in, even if they lose to William & Mary, because they'll have eight wins, and they've got that victory over Virginia early in the season.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. They're definitely a lock. I think a lot of people that say, oh, I don't know, you have to keep in mind that now that's expanded to 24 teams, that you can afford to lose a few games and still be pretty safe in some scenarios.
Yeah, and with the CAA teams, my thought all along has been a 6-2 CAA team is likely to get themselves into the field, especially if they've got at least seven wins overall. But an interesting scenario involving Villanova this week, they've got seven wins. They've got a game this week with Delaware. Obviously, if they win, they're in, but do you think a Villanova team has to get a victory to make the field?
I mean, obviously, if they get the win, they're a lock. I do. I've been breaking it down a little more this week. I'm going to elaborate on some stuff Thursday on the website, but I ended up slipping them into my lock. Even with a lock, I think their resume is impressive enough at 7-4 to make the field. There might be a tiny asterisk if some of these unlikely outcomes steal a couple of the bubble bids, but I feel safe calling them a lock.
Well, and, you know, I look at one of their losses early in the season to Pitt. After what Pitt did this weekend, Villanova still has held them to the lowest point total of any team this season.
Oh, I didn't even realize that stat. That is impressive.
So let's get down to the Maine Black Bears. We're talking with Eric Pitzer of NoBowls.com. Obviously, both teams in a must-win situation this week. But let's say New Hampshire wins this game. Are they guaranteed getting into the field even if they get a win?
Well, I looked at it at the end of last Saturday and saw this game coming up, and I said right away, oh, wow, winner of this game, definitely in. The more I look at it, if Maine wins, I think they're definitely in. If New Hampshire wins, I'll probably put them in, but I could also see a scenario where it comes down to them and Albany, both sitting at 7-4 for maybe a final spot in the field, and Albany has the head-to-head over them. So I wouldn't feel as comfortable if I'm New Hampshire, but I still think we can call this a virtual play-in game.
Yeah, and how much weight does the committee put into New Hampshire having the longest current streak of playoff appearances?
They say they don't factor in previous years at any time, but sometimes I find that hard to believe. You feel like you see some of the same team in New Hampshire. You see Montana just in there every year no matter what.
Well, let's talk about where Maine might go if they do win this game. Now, the NCAA, they still keep the rule that you can't play a conference team in the first round, and they try when they can to keep the travel somewhat limited to within 400 miles, but for a Maine, that reduces all kinds of options. You've got them, if they win, going out to take on Lehigh.
Right, yeah. Maine is in that situation where there's really not too many eligible opponents within that 400-mile radius, so they're probably going to be taking a flight somewhere or hosting a team. I have them against Lehigh. I think that is the closest geographically. I'm not sure how much weight the committee will put into that, or just, you know, sometimes once it's beyond the 400-mile radius, they just say, heck, you know, we'll send them out to California. So they can really go anywhere. And I think New Hampshire, I think, was in the radius for Lehigh. So I think that I might have just slotted them in against Lehigh. It's kind of a, you know, plug either one of those teams in there, depending on that outcome.
And then if they were to advance past that opening round, you've got them heading out to Grand Forks, North Dakota. Could you also see a scenario where they do what's often happened in the recent past, and they pair them up with an opponent from the CAA that they didn't face during the season, like maybe a Richmond?
Yeah, it could definitely happen. I don't think with Maine, I think there's definitely some teams that are more likely to see opponents like I have right now, the Citadel. I feel like they're going to see either Charleston Southern or Wofford, and no matter how you shake it out, that seems to be a no-brainer pairing. But with Maine, I think they might just be one of those leftover pairings that kind of whoever doesn't have one close to them, you know, we'll slot them in there.
So as you look at the games this weekend, about how many teams are in a win-to-get-in situation?
Well, as I have it broken down, I have 17 teams that are locked that are either have already clinched their automatic bid or are, you know, a safe with a win or loss for an at-large bid. There's two other teams in Samford and Wofford that are very likely to win their games, and they'll be in if they win, which I expect to happen, which brings up to 19. And then you have the UNH main winner. I have the Cal Poly. There's a Cal Poly Northern Colorado game that'll get another spot picked up. So I think we're looking at about three or four spots that are up for grabs. Montana, Western Illinois, Albany, Weber State. Even a five-loss team like Northern Iowa is still in the mix, too.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Is this year that we see a 6-5 get in? And if it is, would it be Maine's playoff nemesis a couple of times, the University of Northern Iowa?
It could very well be. They're playing South Dakota State this weekend, and I saw they're a 4.5-point favorite to beat South Dakota State, who currently sits in first place in the Missouri Valley. So if that doesn't show you how strong of a team they are. But again, they lost five games. Will the committee look past that? I think that they're going to need some help from some other bubble teams losing.
Well, it's a fascinating time of year, and you guys are such a valuable resource. Eric Pitzer from NoBowls.com, thanks so much for the great work you do covering FCS football. We appreciate you making time for us here this afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me. I love talking it.